away. remarks been made already since you arrived here, that some things that I've said in the beginning of this year, and people don't realize, of course, the great trouble that we're in this nation. What I mean by that, losing our freedom. Of course, when we lose our freedom, then we have lost the freedom of preaching the gospel. And that's happened to all nations that have drifted away. And the Bible teaches the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. And it looks like today that people, of course, they talk about God, they talk about His goodness, but yet as far as knowing Him, the free pardon of sin, not my judgment, that's not what I'm basing my words upon, the teaching of this Bible. We're just about to the end of the great freedom that we've enjoyed, getting away from us faster than we realize. But I'm thankful, even tonight, all of you that are here, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, we're five, always thankful. And I pray, try to ask God to direct me. There's a great responsibility. Very few people that have ever known about it, do know about it, in this name. That is the responsibility that rests upon God's called me. And it's more than people. You've heard of this. I might make a few remarks before our prayer. You've heard it, and I guess you may have asked the question, is a preacher obligated any more than anyone else? Some say, well, I don't feel like God holds him more responsible. You don't actually believe that. The Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that a God-called man has the greatest responsibility. In fact, God selects me. The preacher's work. And I appreciate that. And the great responsibility. I preach from this pulpit, never one that I've ever stood. And I have cried out as Isaiah of old. And as the Bible teaches, he said, cry aloud. And try to tell people the great responsibility that's resting upon. Here's what I preach. If people that have stood, all of them that claim they're preaching, and I'm going to read a lesson, if God's willing, in a little while, that will point out some of these things, make them clear, concerning God's call to mankind and our responsibility to Him. And it's, of course, the letdown, as you've heard me preach. It's been right in our pulpits. This Bible speaks it. It's worded just as plain. Anybody that can understand English can understand. And that's why that this is so important. I'm standing here facing few people at Maysville Church one more time. I'm obligated to God. I can't make you believe what I preach, and I'm not going to try. God didn't call me. And, of course, according to the Bible, the majority of people have always rejected the truth and are doing that tonight, and will do, and in a greater way. But it's our responsibility, mine and all of us, to preach the Word of God. And then the Bible speaks out to all of you that are here, and it includes me too, and that is to be doers of the world. People of so much and so many kinds, they'll talk about preaching the Word of God, and that's the important thing. But I have tried, as best I knew how, to rightly divide and separate the written Word of God. It's great meaning that leads us to the living Word of God. If the written Word of God is not rightly divided, then people will never taste the good Word of God that we have before the end of the Bible. I don't know whether we've been today. I don't know whether we have tried as we should have to pray or not. But it's an awful good place to start. And this, according to the Bible, should be called a house of what? A house of prayer. By who? By all men. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, one Lord kind, Lord, we are bound. Sin was made more in need tonight than ever before. We know that what we need is God's grace and power, which the Bible teaches, referring to the privilege of God. My grace is sufficient. And then as we talk about sin on every hand, and that it's hard to live as it ought to be, that it was invisible, but the Bible clarifies that it makes it plain. Where sin is abound, grace is much more alive. The more sin that we have facing us in this world, God's grace is sufficient. God's divine grace, according to this Bible,
that's living at that time than any has ever faced.
and all that there. Oh God, tonight.
That's good shape.
Help us, Lord, to realize the great responsibility, not just resting all together upon the preacher, but also, of course, we believe part. And then there to be news of that. And then if the preacher fails to break the bread of life, fails to declare the whole counsel of God, then the Bible teaches that the flock will be scattered abroad. God help us tonight. Will God be with the unsaved, on which it's our duty to pray for, whoever they are, wherever they're at. And oh Lord God, deal with them that are sick in body or mind. Lord, we pray for them according to thy will and for our good. Give us a sweet service at Maysville. Church one more time and just another Saturday night. And we'll be careful to give them all the praise as best we know how. Because we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, of our heavenly Father, which is in heaven, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit that's here in the world. Amen. Be seated.
Thank you.
Say that I've been reading all together about two prophets. I want you to separate them, if you can, and you can, if you've been saved. And I will read as I feel God would have me to, and this is from the old, and then we'll turn to the new. This man was, of course, called and ordained to be a prophet before he was ever born. The holy whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury. Even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfect. I have not sent these prophets, yet they reign. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. But if they had stood, now here's a verse that'll catch you if you don't watch it. And sometimes if you do. Now remember, but if they had stood in my counsel and had called my people to hear my words, now that's rightly divided, they were not preaching God's word. Then should they have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afore all? Can he hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Not two prophets, but prophets that prophesy lies. Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own, or prophets of their own deceit of their own heart. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for days. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, because behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lies. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. If you care to read in the book of Jeremiah and the beginning of this 23rd chapter, you'll find that where that he started off and spoke out the woe against the pastors, and that scattered the sheep of my pasture. But while that reading is fresh in your mind, it could be, let's turn now and read from the New. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as the thief in the road. by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now that's the one that can feed the flock, not somebody that climbs up or goes out here to make a preacher. The one God has called, that's the meaning as we read it. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, notice here that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. I don't suppose that all of the younger people, I can remember I had an uncle, and of course he raised a lot of sheep. And I could call those things, and they wouldn't come at all. And he could just step out there in the barn lot and speak a few words, and here he'd come. I notice here that this reading that I read, he said that the sheep, they knew his voice, and they followed him, for they knew his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In other words, we don't know whether this is my shepherd to call them or not. Not the right voice. That's the meaning. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I want us to notice how this links with the old that I just read. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, saith the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scatter the sheep. I could go on here and take John 10, and you should be familiar with it. And we have been, for several months, more so, we've been preaching on Bible prophecy. And of course, when we take the Bible, as we said in our remark at that time when we were speaking, of course, we know that we are talking about the Bible prophecy. And how much of it is fulfilled already, how much of it is yet to be fulfilled. And of course, tonight, we read enough, as you ought to know, and we've already been talking about the letdown, the sheep. Now, if you got this, and I hope that you did, the responsibility all through this, in the Old, in the book of Jeremiah, also in the New, the responsibility all rested upon the shepherd, the prophet. And I want that to rest in your mind, and better than that, sink deep into your heart. And I don't know if it looks like or seems to me anymore that people are not concerned about this that's taking place in this country of ours. And we see it happening. I even got another shock, I think yesterday morning, I believe it was, anyway, recently, this week sometime, last day or two, when our nation, that is a greater part of it, when they stoop so low to feel that God will honor gambling, and that they have services and pray and say that they're asking God to help them in order to win. I don't believe that if all of us here tonight, if maybe, I'm including myself and every other individual, we're living, as I said, and this remark to make so much, in the day when people can just be pushed aside or over, or if they don't, they fall backward, and they give up and say, well, there's no use. Let me tell this little flock here tonight something that I've told you ever since I've been here and ever since I've been preaching. God never has lost the battle. Not one. Never has. Let me repeat. God never has lost the battle. And if you remember, and this links right in with what we have been talking about recently, and of course, as men of God, they prophesied and told about these things. And then the prophet Isaiah said, now what I prophesy, you preach that, you prophesy that, you tell the people about it, so when it comes to pass, they'll know you're a true prophet. Now hope, according to the Bible, is expectation. But, as I said many times, there's two kinds of hope. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. Don't expect anything. That's the meaning of it, of that hope that you can see. In Romans 8, if you want to read, turn over to verse 24, chapter 8, and you can read. So tonight, we know then that this that we're talking about, he said here, the meaning of this in the book of Jeremiah, if these had been my prophets, they would have declared my words, and my sheep would have not been scattered. That's a letdown all through the Bible. The responsibility rests upon men of God, God's leader. And you remember that he made it clear, and he said in his own words, and they're pinned in this chapter, Jeremiah 23, and he said, I have not called them, yet they went out. I didn't speak to them, yet they prophesied. But he said they prophesied lies, and they have called too. Now here, who did they call to go astray? He said, my sheep, my people. You put a man in this pulpit or anywhere else that does not rightly divide the word of truth and the responsibility. Now, I don't know how many lambs we've got here tonight. I don't know how many old sheep we've got according to the scripture. I don't know. But this that we're talking about here, he said, if these
the meaning again I repeat, if there had been my prophets and declared my word, my people would have not been scattered. You're living in a day and age when a lot of people, men have gone out, and if there's not some power about the preacher's preaching, you better let him on. Let it be me or whoever. If there's not some evidence, not some power, even Jesus made that clear himself. When he spoke out and he told them, he said, believe on me for the very work's sake. Power. That's the thing today we've got to form, and that is godliness. But the power is left back. That's our trouble. And so this man, when he spoke out, God called him before he was ever born. And he ordained him. That is, he set him apart. And that was to go out and prophesy. And he did. Somebody said, I've had a hard time of preaching. Well, I never grumbled about that. I know, and you know it. I don't have to tell you all. You all seen enough and heard enough, but I don't have to stand here and tell you all what I have went through with. You don't know it all. And I'm glad you don't, because I don't want the burden to rest upon you. But notice here, this man that God called from his mother's womb and ordained him to go out and to prophesy, this man went, and he went with kids, and he prophesied. And where did he wind up at? In a dungeon. In a dungeon. He never did ask the people for much all during his prophecy. He was asking God for it. And when God hits you, the people will hit you if God has called you. You never have that one. Even Elijah. Look back at his records. We've mentioned him so much, and every other preacher, I suppose, that preaches concerning prophecy. And he felt like that he was the only one. He felt like every other prophet had been killed. And we talk about the mourner's bands being moved out of the church. Well, why not? If you're not going to have any mourners, you don't need a mourner's band. If they're not going to preach with power, and the power of God will reach people and cause them to weep and to mourn. And so, this man went out, wound up in a dungeon, as we said, I'm referring to Jeremiah. Then Elijah comes along, went out, found him a juniper tree, sat down, and just wanted to die. Just give up. Now, don't you get excited about your little fighting spell when you say, oh, I've got a cross. Well, if you didn't have a cross, what would you care? What would it be? What would it be? What did we say in number 29? Bearing the cross. Why? To win the cross. All right. Then he was there, and he got so weak and had the power to raise the dead, to pray a prayer, and did that God put meal back in the barrel, and so did Elisha. And, of course, Elisha had the same power because it was the power of God. But a man that God had blessed and sent birds and all of these things to feed it and sent bread down from heaven and water by an angel, and there he was surrendered and said, Lord, let me die. Now, he didn't know God's will. He knew it in part, so do you and I. But when we see the text, and then, of course, when God spoke to him and told him that he had 7,000. I don't know how many of you here say it tonight, but I can tell you one that does know, and he will never deceive. If you're saved, you got saved just like I did. And if you got saved, it was brought about by a new birth. And so, when this happened, why, of course, we find that Elijah was standing there, maybe near a cave, and a great storm arose. And he didn't feel the power of God in that. Now, a lot of people get confused on that, saying God doesn't and can't control the weather. But don't you get that in your mind, because he does. And of course, we see that a great earthquake, it took place. God was not in that. How did Elijah know? Because the power wasn't in it. Spiritual power. But something else happened. How was it? You all know? There's a voice here. A voice. You say it tonight. Why, preacher, will it? Do you believe that God that speaks out in a way that you can hear him? Not with a natural ear, no, but when you hear with a natural ear, there's evidence then that God's power reaches right on into the heart. And let me explain that, even if you can't hear it. God's got power to speak to your heart, whether you've got natural ears or not. You all seen that. If you haven't, I know I have, and I think everyone here, most everyone. And so God was in that. And the greatest peace that you have ever had or ever will have is when you bow down or will in the future, if it ever happens, and get in touch with God and feel the power of God. I wonder how much praying, as we call it in church, that's really praying. You may think, are you getting personal? Yes. From the full pit on back. What are you talking about? A prayer is not altogether words spoken out with this voice that you hear ringing in the walls of this building. There was a man standing by and saw the moving of the lips of a mother one time, and the choir, as I collect from the Bible, he didn't hear her talking, but she was. The lips was moving. A prayer, and I wonder, when we get down here on our knees, this is going to get personal. I know it is, but we're going to have to find out who we are and what we are before we'll ever realize whether we're on God's side, or whether God's on our side, or what have you. I wonder, you know, when people come to the house of God, let me say this, with all due respect, and you know it, and I know it, and above all, God knows it. We begin to pray for everything all over the world. Well, that's good if it's your heart's desire. We've got enough to pray about here at Maysville if we'd all take it to heart. And that's the only way we're going to ever get an answer. And God is looking tonight, and the responsibility is resting, and that's why that God said here, both in the Old and New, these are not the only lessons. I just selected these because God directed me that way. But we are living in a day, and the day is coming. And one of the old prophets, he spoke out, not much there, Matthew, in the Old Testament, but we find that he prophesied that there would be a day when people, mankind, would run from the east to the west, north, south, searching, wanting to hear the words of the Lord. And then his prophecy, and they shall not hear it. They'll not be able to find it. How would you feel if you was living here in this community, or even here tonight, and you could not feel the spiritual power of God? Are you here tonight? Are you in that condition? Have you gone that far? Let the power of God does not touch your heart. I think we're talking and we're saying we don't put God first. You may say you do. I may say I do. But I want us starting it myself to see whether or not we do. In every way. Now then, if we do that, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then what will be added to that? All the things that we need. I'm thankful tonight. I thank God tonight that we do have this freedom. Oh, how I thank God for this freedom to stand here in this pulpit. I have never wanted to be somebody great. I've never wanted to be somebody else. There's only one man that's ever lived here in the world. I know I have a daddy and a mother, and that we all left them. But there's one man that lived here in the world that I want to be just like him, as near as I can. Y'all know who he is? Jesus Christ. And if we can't be like him, and I'm not just saying in words that, let me tell you something tonight. I'm saying that we can say this and that, but when we really prove, and God required that of a man long ago, and he said, and he knew he loved him, and you remember, he asked him the question, and he answered him three times. And the last time he made it clear, Lord, you know I love you. He had a job for him each time, didn't he? What? Feeding the lambs first, and then the next sheep. And we said, you might have seen it on your TV screen, where they had a chaplain, and there, and today, the governor of our state, Kentucky, the governor of our state, was there boasting about billions of dollars that had been bet upon horses. Well, I know this gets that you say, you're a Democrat or Republican, I'm a child of God.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying being a Republican you go to hell, or being a Democrat, but if you're not a child of God, you will. And so people are confused about that. And then when that come along, the kind of preaching, not bragging, but the kind of preaching that I'm trying to do here, and if I've changed since I started, and any of you can tell me that I've trapped up or begin to pack up in it, I'm ready to go home. God has blessed me more than I've ever done for Him. In fact, every breath I breathe belongs to Him. Every step I've made, He's given me strength to do that. And everything is. And I thank God. And people are talking now. And they're going and talking about the grandmothers and the mothers, godly mothers, in this nation of ours. And they stood them aside. Let me tell you something tonight. I'm telling you that this Bible teaches us as children of God to try to protect. That's what the Lord said for His church to do. Most people left it to the government. The Bible plays Paul. And we talk about love in God. A mother with trembling hands and a devil with trembling hands at work, as though his sweat was drops of blood. And then when he gets old and feeble, and they've got brick homes, rock homes, mansions all around here, and they're in these homes now, begging and pleading and big salt pillows. God's going to send a storm upon this land one of these days, as I read here. And he said, I'm going to send a whirlwind. And when we were not able, I went in home many times when my mother was seated there in an old straight chair, a rocking chair, with an old kerosene lamp burning. And sitting there and say, son, I've been praying that God will let you come home. Let me tell you something tonight. We talk about how we love God. Do we love Him? If we do, we'll prove it. That's what I preach, and that's what I'm still preaching tonight. I tell you, who's responsible? I am. I am. And all others, and I thank God for all of these same women. They stood back. Then you talk about tonight, and the people are getting rich. And do you all believe I'm preaching the truth, or am I just beating the air? I know I'm not, but I'm asking you, what do you believe about it? What do you believe about it? Do you believe there's a lot of dads and mothers in homes right now, when they've got children, that they watch silver and cool their heads, their brow with cool rag when they were sick, and watched over them when they were not able to take care of themselves, and they've got mansions, so to speak, to live in, and they turned them aside? And let me tell you something tonight. I'm going to preach it if I go home. If a person's got that in his heart, he'll never see heaven until he gets saved. You all can believe it. I'm ready to go home tonight. I'm not preaching for money. God called me to preach the truth. And He promised me that He'd take care of me. Or He's tried me. And I'll tell you something else, if He'd let me and got rich, I probably wouldn't be here like I am tonight. And I'm proud of it. Then I'm going to look at you. If your parents had been, all of us been millionaires, and they'd handed out $100 bill every time we wanted to go out somewhere, where would we have been tonight? In hell, most of us, I guess. Me included. I tell you tonight, people are crying and they're talking about all of these diseases that people are having, and they're passing this law and that law, and all of these big educators are coming together, and our children going to school, a lot of them not decent to look at. You might say, preach your word, aren't you afraid to preach that? No, if I love it, I wouldn't be. No. You can talk about an education. If it's the right kind, it's the right kind. If it's the wrong kind, it's the wrong kind. And somebody asked me a question the other day. Somebody said, "What do you have to do to sin?" I said, "Don't you know?" So I asked y'all that question tonight. What do you have to do to sin? It's a short answer. Very short. To transgress the laws of God is sin. And you tell me today, when we go back, "Oh, I could go on. I'm going to have to close." I know. A lot of people say, "Oh, well, everybody else is doing it. About everybody going to hell, too." That's the truth. According to the number of people that are here in this world, and somebody says, "Oh, Jesus, wait a little longer until I get my children or friends or neighbors or loved ones in." Let me tell you something now. If the Lord could come tonight, there was probably a lot of little babes that are going to heaven, and if he prolongs the time, they'll grow up and go to hell. So you need not pray that prayer. The Lord, wait a little longer until we get our loved ones in. We got more out now than we're getting in. I love God tonight. Every day I live, I love Him more. It seems like I get sorry every day I live. I think about so much that's taking place in this world, and so many people that are saying, "Well, I just don't think you ought to say things like that. You'll hurt somebody's feelings." Let me tell you something. If preaching the truth hurts your feelings, you need them hurt. Real bad. I thank God. Yes, I'm going to close. Sure. I thank God for my experience that I've had through these few years that I've been here in the world. I look back. There's not a one in this congregation tonight, not a one, let's say one of us, that if we could just take a picture of our life and put it up here on the wall where everybody could see it, not a one here, say, "Put it up there." I wouldn't say it, you wouldn't. Don't tell me you would. Brother, when you get so good, you're sanctified both soul and body, you better be flocking. See whether you've got land tonight. You've got no business down here. And yet people say, "Well, I just don't think you ought to preach that." Well, that's the truth. That's why so many people think that what they've got, they're keeping it themselves. God give us a natural life when we were born into this world, and it's limited, and we must die, and then when we get the spiritual birth, we're to live forever, in spite of the devil and all of the things. Very few people believe that. They'll stomp the toe out here and say something bad, they'll say, "He's bound for the dungeon." Well, I'm going to tell you what he'll do if he's too child of God. He'll know it before you do. And not being by that here. He'll know it before you do. He won't have to tell him to pray because he'll ask God to do it. Y'all ever experienced anything like that? Let me see your hand. Y'all awful quiet. And I love you better than I love my life. Thank you. I appreciate every one of you here tonight. But I love God better than I love my life. This old world, I like to say it, and I'm going to say it's not fit to live in.
Amen.
Sit in your own homes and see naked people. And they're all out there, and you see people, and some of them wear the name of church member, some of them deacons, some of them preachers, some of them priests, some of them popes, and they say, "Well, that's all right in this day and age." Let me tell you something now, and then I'm going to close. Did you know under God's law, back when they, even somebody in your own family, if you went in, you were to turn your back on them and not see their naked body? and you tell me this filthy, low-down, rotten stuff today of people shimming and shaking on television and then getting out here and singing all these songs. I don't know anybody else than that here, and I don't believe in all of this practice, but you hear John R. Rice the other night, any of you in all of you, let's see your hand. I believe there's one here that heard it. And he says, well, he speaks out about his open as I do. And I don't like some of his practice, and I guess he didn't like any of mine as far as that's concerned. But he said, somebody go out here and play the piano. And they had one in church that was doing that. And then when they had one of these big programs on television, she got out there and played from the dance. And she got convicted and converted, and she gave up that. Let me say this. Y'all may want me to go home, not come back tomorrow, but you just tell me. I'll still love you. But I'm telling you, people, let it be whoever it is. It could be Johnny Cash or anybody else that goes out here and plays all of this mess and music and everything about killing and beer drinking, and he can go with Billy Graham or all the rest of them he wants to. According to this Bible, a man's heart is not right that does that.
Amen.
Now that's why God said, my people are scattered. And when you preach it like this, you're going to scatter some. But if you can just win a few, how true is this business? Don't tell me that a man play on both sides of the fence. Let's have a song. I don't shake hands. I know the reason you don't want to, I'm going to stop here. We'll have a conference service. I want to shake hands with everyone of you tonight. I want to put it like that. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. And if you don't, I still love you. I'm not touching. No, I'm not ready to fly out of this pulpit either. God's going to have to take me to heaven. I don't well ever get back. I can't fly. I can't climb. But then he said it'd be a thief and a robber. But if you believe what I preach tonight, I want to take your hand. And I promise you, I'll pray for you. And I ask you to do the same. Let's pray.
Thank you.
time, just a little bit of clay that God rolled together when he started creating mankind. And I thank God for his love. And had it not been for the love of God, I'd be left with my fruitless cries and the devil tails of my feet. I know it. I'm not just guessing. And may God bless each and every one of you. I appreciate everyone. I thank God for these two. And God has always honored the people he made the promise. Where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And may God help you. You got anything on your heart before we open the conference service? You feel like God wants you to say a name, I know you ought to feel free to say it. God puts up with me here, Lord. I'm honest. Y'all may think I'm honest. The way he's blessed me, even with all I've had to go through, if I deserved every bit of it, if I hadn't even let me go through, it was to his glory. May God bless you.
Brother Willard says what they've ever been saved or not, but they're mixing little of everything, really. And, well, a little of this won't hurt, and it's all right, and just go ahead. And then God just is bringing it all along, and they're giving God the credit for it, see, when God ain't even in it. You know, he said, he that worships me must worship me in spirit and in truth. He seeketh us to worship him. I thank God for the truth, the gospel, that's going to stand. I thank God for Brother Willie Ben, for what he stands for.
Well, he said, my request is that we're going to pray, and I believe you will, anything else before we stand.
Brother Willie Ben, I certainly enjoyed the message tonight, and I thank the Lord for sparing me to come back here one more time. I want you to know that I wish I, in everyday life, that I could be a better example before someone that might not be a Christian, that I could live to be better and have something to show them that he might not have, that I might have something that he could look and see. And I fail many a time. I say things and do things I shouldn't. I sort of fly off the handle, so to speak, at times, but it's because it's not... It's hard to explain, but I try to express my feelings the way I want to be somebody to treat me. And you're talking about the schools is what I'm trying to get at. I don't guess there's five people in the whole school over there fitting to teach. If you go over there and say anything to them about it, the very first thing they say, well, he's out making trouble, trying to make trouble. Tim is on a trip tonight, left yesterday morning. And I told him, I said, act your race. And Lord help, I hope that he has, and Lord will look after him. And also, to show you what the school situation is, he had to go to a church, not our belief. I'm not saying some of them not saved in the church, probably, but if he didn't go, he's going to be took off his grades. That's how it's got. And he's having a hard enough time in school as it is. And we just about got to the point in Allen County, Scottsville, that just about a gestapo situation. It's right here on hand. I know I failed the Lord many a time. I'll do it before I get home. But right at the present time, it seems like me and my wife and my family are blessed more right now than we've ever been in our life, Brother Willie. And I don't seem like I've done anything to deserve it. But I want you to know, back one particular place, it wasn't very, well, it's been quite a while too, but... In one place that's dear to me where this happened, that I know the Lord spoke peace and soul. I wish that, like I've said before, that I could be a better example before someone else maybe is lost. And we should be a better example before them because we know the right way. And the Lord has been so good to me and my family, health-wise. We've had food to eat. We've had clothes to wear. We've had transportation to go to church. And how can we fail the Lord, Brother Willard? Because he's been so good to us. I thank the Lord for sparing me to come back once more. I'm thankful that we have Ron over here tonight, Nelson. He came out with Scott. We've known him for some bit. Glad to have him come out. Appreciate everyone that comes this way. But I want you to know if there's anything between me and anybody that's causing any friction between us or anything, I'd be more than glad to meet him halfway and make it right with him. God knows I will. Brother Willie, I appreciate what you stand for, and I know you think about each and every one of us here at
this church every night. I believe you pray for every one of us here at this church. And I believe you pray for this church as much as you do any one of us. There's not a night that I lay down that I don't think about you. But maybe I don't think about you enough. But I believe that you're praying for each and every one here, just like you say. I believe you love everybody here, just like you say. And I'd like for you to pray for us, Brother Wigley, the whole congregation, as far as that goes, and my family.
Yes. Now the night that goes by, the last thing I do, every time I call my brother names, got to the woods and come in the heart and many others. Anybody else before we go into the conference, Father? If there's not,
I'm going on with
her work.
I'm not with that. No, not with that. I've said and don't find it, but I shouldn't do it. I don't try to talk to my girl that's got four little children about coming to church. She said, well, Daddy, said, the way that it is, it ain't no reason. I've not left a light child before that they could make me come this money. I need your own prayer, and I want your own prayer for her that God will get a hold of her some way or somehow. She'll take them, she'll spend, she'll go on to anything besides going to church where she can hear the Word of God preach. Y'all pray for me and for her that we'll get back where God can use.
For that, we appreciate all of our remembrance of these people. Anything else? Not, we're going to call the church together. That will do at this time for the business part first. We invite the visitors to be comfortable with us, and then, of course, we're going to open the doors, or as we said, give an option for full membership. Should there be anyone more here, like this gentleman with amazing church? My way is you may have received members, and I've told you that so many times you have gave your obedience. And if you will stand together and sing the stand of the song at this time.
Number two.
My understanding is we've got another man that is numbers he had.
All right. Thank you, Brother Neil. He explained here, as he did, this is one thing I've been preaching on. We don't unchristianize anyone. And I'm going to make this as plain as I can. And I'm going to be a Baptist, I'm going to be a Baptist, it's going to be a Methodist, it's going to be a Methodist. If I was going to be a Catholic, I'd be a Catholic. And we got rules and regulations, and that's all we can go by. And of course, you need, I don't think that the Standing Committee is there, I think you need release. All right.
No other than that, no other ever did have the church here. And I've been told here in the last little bit, he said he's not saved. We don't think it's going to happen alone. I think we'll see him too, Brother Sharp, for Bill Sharp. See them both and see. Of course, he has been saved. We need to talk to him and get a change made. He hasn't been, or did he do something? So we'll just talk to him and see them both.
All right. You've heard your request. And, of course, as you said, I don't teach that we should set them aside as an enemy. We don't do that, but it should be investigated. Now, the committee, how you want to do that? In selecting the committee, or to select three on the brethren, and I would include in this, if you all want to, if when you make a motion, if you do the select committee, that any of them that you know of that you feel it should be investigated and find out how a lot of moves have been made we don't know about. And we'll still pray for them, and I'm sure that we do that. How you want to select the committee? How you want to do that? Well, it's a huge thing. I don't like the kids, but
you select all that, you select that, I guess that's what you do.
I, of course, I know that we, of course, called on select committees, and I don't think anyone else was thinking more one than we did that other already. I'm going to select Graf Neil Whitlow for one of them, and then we can select another. All right, we got three here, and of course, you'll have to have a motion hereby, and you know these are selected, of course, some of you brethren here. I'm just saying this, if you have to, you don't have to, but the right thing, they don't want to make a motion to the home office here. And another male member here, if you would make up motion, if you feel like doing that, that you will accept these three brethren as a committee to go and investigate the prayer and pray for them. Let's pray for them. This is not trouble. That's not it. And the spirit of meekness. And I've always been for that, and God knows it. Some of you brethren, if you're in favor of this, make a motion.
I don't accept this committee. But it's low.
All right, anyone wish to speak to it before we take it to a vote? If not, each member may the church is in favor of this, so see the voting sign. They've left your name down. Any objection on the right side? I don't see it, call my attention. All right, anything else before we go home?
Well, I'd like to show that I've got one of those prayer points about being able to do these things in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That was the first part of it. It's not pleasant to have to do this, but it's something we know when we take the Bible teaching. And it's something that's been going too far already. We did our prayer. When we go, we'll look on the Spirit of God and have some faith on what we go to.
You might. Don't forget that now. You may think, well, I wasn't called on, I'm not obligated. You're very prepared. You are. Pray for it. And God will work all things. Never lost the battle. Anything else before we go home?
Well, my brother. Brother Howard was down there about a week ago, and he was
want to preach here on the second Sunday, the Sunday night, or the fourth Sunday, the Sunday night. Didn't want to be too serious yet, but Sunday night or Sunday. So I make a motion that we put it for the church. So after the third time, when we shall have time to come. I've heard some say they can come on Sunday night, they can be here on Sunday. So, I'm going to put the church up here for them, so I have to come. So, I'm taking the motion.
You might have a motion form that's been invited, didn't you? We got a second here, and I'd like to speak to it. And, of course, I suppose that we'll just open the way, or if you would, if you say it's going to come, why don't you just say it? Take a Sunday night. Let him come.
He said he could come the second Sunday, but trip, like I thought, might be the little push, but I was kind of trip, I think, hard and slow. So, Sid Churchill, I think, was pushing that as well.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, six of those, Nick. All in favor, Brother William A. Coward. All of you well acquainted with him. Coming back here to preach to you, if at all possible, on the fourth Sunday night. Let's see the bullet time, isn't it? And I thank you down. You just get some of that other time. We don't see the problem with that. Anything else? Cannot please pray for me and mine. I don't want to anything on the try to please God. And that's the hardest job I've ever done. It's all I am and all God gives me to do that. And then I come to see the time. I'm back tomorrow. The Lord willing. Sunday school at 10 o'clock. I wish I'd come here tomorrow. I couldn't get to make it up this little place. I wish they could come for Sunday school instead of the Bible. You may want to know what kind of Sunday school book it is when you're looking at it. Come back tomorrow at 10 o'clock Sunday school, preaching at 11. God willing.
Margaret?
Yeah.
Another thing, our decoration, we usually have it on the first Sunday in June, so we set the date on the
end. All right, I'm glad that the church brought it here. Speak up, that's the word. Somebody, if you don't know what to do, if you say something, somebody tell you what's going on. Anyone which speaks to them, now what do you mean, all day? All right, that's what we go so far, and you can decide to be preaching, of course, Lord, rather than the morning, and then if you want to have training or whatnot, or you can see if that's what they do. You want it all day? If you do, then, of course, that's the way we read it. First Sunday in June. And while we speak to the Lord, if not all favor, we'll see you over time. Yeah. And you get to the last time. All right, anything else? If not, why, come back in the morning, come to the end, God willing, and remember all the other services that are here, most of them, so it's time to come.
Take the motion, Mr. Johnson.
Standing together, we appreciate you. Go home or wherever you feel all the way you can go. Brother Bill Chop, the witness is where you think.
Holy Father, we're thankful for this another privilege and opportunity that God has sent our way. We thank you for preaching that refers. We thank you for the
spirit
that we felt in our very souls. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the truth that's been preached for everything that is done. We pray, dear God, that thou will get honor and glory out of us.
Lord,
ask the Lord to bless this church, bless every effort that's been put forth. Be with us and uphold us with thy great power and the things we have to do. For with us through our homes, keep us humble. Bring us back again. We give praise for all that is accomplished in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.